Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Welcome to another Living Waters Church podcast. We continue in our summer series called Love Your Neighbor. And we're reading specifically today from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 19. Allow me to read these verses from the New Living Translation. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings a sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. I began last week referencing the Sesame Street song, Who Are the People in Your Neighborhood? And I think that is a place we must begin every conversation about loving our neighbor, which of course is the title of our summer series. To help us get up and on the road of the neighborly way, we've been hearing from James these last number of weeks, who's actually come up quite close and personal as he's talked about all kinds of things. He's come in quite hot, if you know that expression. He's talked about humility, time, money, speech, silence, attitudes, and putting names on the people we make room and time for in our lives. Basically, James is asking us, as we've heard, to take a second look at ourselves and our relationships. And as a pastoral team, we're trying to do our very best to help all of us do this, simply by what we're talking about during Church at Home and, of course, during our Grow series on Thursday nights. Let's review more specifically some ideas from last week. Among all that we're discussing and have been, we read in James chapter 5, verse 7, James say this, "Be patient while you wait for the Lord's return." And at the risk of being repetitive from last week, I do think, again, this is a place we have to come back to continually. And let me explain why. As many good writers in the New Testament, James is heard pulling the curtain back a bit on the whole subject of neighborhood, getting us to look ahead and contrasting what we see in the future by what we see today and noting perhaps even on some of the significant differences. And how important is it for you and I to keep in mind this new neighborhood that will be instantly created the moment of Jesus Christ's return? For at that moment, everything that presently divides us people will be instantly suspended forever. At that moment of his return, we will be found in relationships of equality, honor, no more racism, no sexism, no prejudice, no privilege for a few. And again, this vision of neighborhood is what God carries in his heart for all of mankind. This vision of a gospel for all people. And this hope of this gospel can inform us today and inspire us for tomorrow. We heard James mention one other thing. Neighbors are the ones we say yes to use James' specific words from the first part of chapter 5. He says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. if you and I say yes to your neighbor, to a neighbor, then we are to love that neighbor. If it's no, James says, put a name on it, admit it. We discussed this at our newcomers life group this past week, hearing about people that have said yes to others. And in the saying of their yes, they've made conscious and intentional decisions to open up their lives, to pay attention, to make these certain relationships a priority of interest and concern. James said it this way in James chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself isn't enough, and unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. So I think that we're learning that our faith needs expression. Our faith needs legs. And we are hearing that the neighborly way is to be one which is deeply rooted in relationships. In the verses that I've just read a few minutes ago, we hear James continuing to help us make our faith practical. He's helping us live with our feet in the ground, our head in the game, and our hearts transformable. Verses which I have read point to things that are, I suppose, if you were to read it again and again and again, are hard to talk about, but yet they're common to all people. I'm thinking about James and these verses 13 to 20, which reference sickness and sin, social concern, and coming alongside people who fall away from their faith. So let's look at these individually. Verses 13 to 16 talk about what should happen when someone is sick and when someone sins. And again, sickness and sin, common to all people. If we misunderstand this passage, we may think that James is doing a bit of finger pointing, kind of like taking a roll call at the beginning of an instruction or in a classroom, looking out at the crowded room and saying, okay, who is sick here? Who has sinned? Asking for us to identify ourselves. I'm not sure maybe this is James' intent at all. I appreciated what Ricky said a few weeks ago about James. Many think he was the little brother of Jesus, and Ricky reminded us again of how James seems to be a bit of a straight shooter. He says it straight, and in saying it this way, he creates a bit of discomfort. But friends, this discomfort that we find the Scripture speaking to today, it's not a bad thing. It's actually good and required for self-awareness, personal growth, and ultimately change. One of the first Christmases I shared with Julie's family, I mean, we've now been married for 30 years, so I'm reaching back quite far here, but I remember that first Christmas. It was the meeting of the family moment. And I've, to be honest with you, I mean, I've been in this family for so many years, like I can talk candidly. To me, that first evening felt like a little bit like a gong show. It was a crowded house. Everybody was talking over each other. Opinions were being shared off the cuff. People were being put down cordially and picked up lovingly. People were being hugged and kissed. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure I said a word that whole evening, because I didn't know families talk like that. I suppose you can guess what it was like at the Soames home, and I won't get into that for now, but just think the opposite. As we've been hearing James teach these last number of weeks, there may be some who have thought, I didn't know the people talk so candidly about certain things. I didn't know the Bible, when applied, talk so candidly, and in some ways creates a little bit of scrutiny over our lives. Or maybe you're saying, is James really saying this? Whatever your opinion, what we do know is that James is going after the hearer understanding the heart of the gospel. And again, saying the gospel always calls us closer to God and will always call us closer to each other. And he's trying to find ways to hold you and I accountable to that. So he's saying, don't turn your head or your heart away from one another when it gets hard or inconvenient. And so we find ourselves talking about sickness and sin in this first part of the verses that we're studying today. Jesus talked of the importance of this, specifically as it relates to those who are sick. Matthew 25, verses 39 to 41. The question was asked to Jesus, when do we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You see, the neighborly way leads us to those that are not well, leads us to those that are sick, and leads people to us when we're sick. So the big idea here is don't live alone or in silence with concerns, whoever you are. This is why at Living Waters Church, during most of our large community gatherings, we take time to mention the sick, to pray for the sick. And we do this responsibly because we think it aligns with the heart of the gospel. Be mindful of the sick. Take care of the sick. So here then, James moves from that category, if you would, to from sickness to sin. He puts it right out there and says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So here's an imagination of a prayer-centered relationship, but when you're together in prayer or in conversation, the disciplines of prayer, repenting, renouncing, confessing, admitting to one another is the neighborly way and will draw you closer to one another. It's the gospel way. One of the values of Living Waters Church is authenticity. Julie and I have attended Living Waters now for 11 years and have always appreciated this mention and expression of authenticity, this hope to create an environment where we can be honest. And as a community, do we get it right all the time? Probably not. But it's sure good to go there. It's sure good to keep trying one conversation at a time. So James here goes after another interest of neighboring. In verse 17, he opens the door to talk about social concerns. Here James references Elijah's story recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. To familiarize all of us with the story, Elijah was called as a prophet, a major prophet. His ministry had some tenure to it, and it was all about turning the hearts of those who are away from God back to God. So to understand the history of 1 Kings chapter 18, the people of his day were subject to the wage of repetitive sin. And so God was using Elijah as a spokesman to remind these people of the better way. And so here, James references specifically a time where there had been a three-year drought, and Elijah was responsibly carrying a concern for the causes and tragedies associated with drought. People were hungry, suffering, tremendous inequality, and Elijah gets involved, and he begins to pray for relief, and it comes. It may seem odd that James drops an Old Testament miracle or an Old Testament story into the mix of the conversation, but yet this is a great example of a responsible person who got involved. He spoke about it. He was provoked to prayer and personal involvement, and his good effort helped see change for the good. He was a man who demonstrated his yes was yes, and he got involved through prayer and participation. So could it be that James is saying, I mean, he's saying so many things, but maybe he's also included in all that he's saying is, don't pretend as you engage in the neighborly way that social concerns are not around you and in your world today. I appreciate a discussion I had with a man from our church just recently. And for the last few weeks, he's had over 10 men in his backyard accepting a simple invitation to just simply come and pray. I was talking with him this week and how here's a number of good people humbling themselves on a Tuesday evening, in the middle of summer, just asking God to come, to have mercy on our community and our country, praying a simple but beautiful prayer, asking God to bless the people of our land. I suppose in some ways, roundabout, that this is what Elijah did in 1 Kings 18. He just humbled himself and prayed for his country. God have mercy. At our Social Justice Network meeting on Monday evening past, we were reminded of the poverty that many families even face in Langley. So much to be considered as we discuss this and so much to become well-informed about, but how good it is to be a part of understanding the neighborhood that is close to us and the people that are close to our hearts. In just a few weeks, we'll be sharing ways to get involved in a partnership with Gateway of Hope as we gather back-to-school backpacks and school supplies for Langley students, and you'll hear more about it in the next few weeks. Well, nearing the end of his letter, James, in verses 19 to 20, writes this. Let me remind you, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Here James says, hey, that the neighborly way involves going after people who are slipping away from their faith. James says, hey, let's call it what it is. In the day that you're living, there will be people that will wander off in their faith. They will wander away from their faith, and someone needs to go get them. So perhaps if James is saying, if you're saying yes to your neighbor, then there will be times that you have to go get them. Your yes requires you to move towards them. And of course, allowing them to move towards you when you have a need. So here James is just putting a name on it, asking us to admit that we all have tendencies to wander away from God. And when this happens, we have to go after each other. We have to go get each other. I must say that as a pastoral team of Living Waters Church, we carry in our heart these deep concerns for our Living Water community during COVID-19. And our prayer and our hope and our concern is that no one within our community will slip away. And I would say if there's ever a day that we all need to go find people, it's today. We need to go looking. We need to go after people. So let me encourage you to make that phone call, send the text, drop in on someone, connect, connect, connect. James uses the word wander because few people seldom run away from God. Rather, we all have a tendency to drift and to wander and over time lose heart, lose enthusiasm, dry up, become indifferent, not care, disengage. Wow, how important for us to talk about how we're doing and consider how others are doing. So James says, let your yes be yes. Saying yes to the neighborly way involves watching over the spiritual progress of one another and having that in place for ourselves. So in closing, let's consider another writer who, just like James, pulls the curtain back to help us understand the future or imagine the future so we can know where we are today. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. And of course, this promise is what James referenced in the return of Christ, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So Peter, again, is doing what James did. Look ahead. Consider the future, The Lord is being patient for our sake because he wants everyone to repent, everyone to have a relationship with him and healthy relationships with one another. The good news is that God cares about people. He cares about you. And some of you perhaps need to hear that today. God cares about you. He loves you. Respond to the good news of the gospel that says, yes, Jesus loves me. God loves me. God died for me that I might have an intimate relationship with him. And God loves your neighbor and desires to love your neighbor through you and wants to love you through your neighbor. So let's open up our heart to that good news in Jesus' name for his glory. Let's pray. God, today, thank you for a community that opens their heart to your word. And as, again, this week, we've been considering the neighborly way, we pray for an infilling of your Holy Spirit to stay true to the neighborly way when it is less convenient, less hopeful in some ways, but yet ever so necessary. God, thanks for all the good conversations you have in front of us this week, conversations to hear, and the conversations to be heard. Lead us along in the neighborly way this week for your glory and for the benefit of many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.